Welcome to the Remote Edition podcast. I'm so excited that you're here. On this podcast, we bring you the latest from the world of remote work. We share stories from people working remotely from all over the world, whether they're entrepreneurs, digital nomads, freelancers, people who have remote jobs, or even people that run co-working spaces. We are sharing their stories. Whether you're already working remotely, whether you're thinking about it, or even managing a distributed team, this podcast is for you. A little bit of background about me and why I'm doing this. So I spent 6 years working in corporate sales roles in London, including the largest investment bank in the world, a San Francisco fintech unicorn. Despite these being quite impressive companies to work for a lot of people, I always felt like something was missing. And I did a lot of soul searching and asking myself why I felt like this. And I realized I just hated going into the office every single day. I became so bored of being in the same place, cramming in my holiday to 25 days. And I kept asking myself why we needed to do this when technology allows us to work from anywhere. The routine started to really get me down, so I did a lot of personal growth work and ultimately decided to take the risk, quit my job, start a podcast, and move to Bali to explore the world of remote work. And what I discovered in Bali absolutely amazed me. There are entire communities of super, super smart and talented people working and living remotely from all over the world, all doing different things and actually excited about their work. And most of them had left huge corporate jobs because they were restricted to staying in one place. From then on, I became obsessed with this way of working. It opens up so many opportunities for you to travel, spend more time with loved ones, or just do more things that you love whilst being more productive and generally happier. It also levels the playing field for global talent, which I think is something that can really change the economic landscape, solve issues in overpopulated cities, and ultimately contribute to reducing global inequality. And I just think this is so amazing. So I want to help more people take advantage of this incredible way of working. And through my guest stories, you will learn all about how they came to work remotely and the tips you can take into your own career and business. Hi everyone, I'm back. I know it's been a bit of a while. I have been doing a lot of extra projects at the moment, and the podcast kind of took a little bit of a back burner. I've also been working on some video content lately, and I didn't realize how difficult editing and putting together a vision of a video actually is. So good news is I've learned lots of new skills. Bad news is that I kind of had to neglect the podcast a little bit, and really, to be honest, it wasn't my priority for the last month or so. So sorry about that. I'm going to be bringing lots more exciting things to you, including more video, but I hope that you'll forgive me. So this week's episode is a little bit different, and it's all for a cause that's really close to my heart. So 2020 so far has been a really challenging time for us all, and it's been particularly difficult for Bali because it's an island that relies so heavily on tourism for income. And since Corona hit, the income from tourists has basically completely disappeared. And obviously, as most of you know, I moved to Bali around 10 months ago now, and being in Bali, in all honesty, has totally transformed my life. And it sounds cringy, it sounds cliche, but it really has. I'm like, there's no second guessing it. And just to give some context to what I actually mean by that. So this week I was actually running on the beach in the morning with my dog, and like it just overwhelming feeling of, wow, this is incredible. Like, it was once a dream to me that I would live in paradise on a tropical island. I just never thought that that would, I don't know why, but I just never thought that that would be an option or be available to me unless I was like super rich or something like that. I don't know. But in reality, in 2019, I just got so sick of my situation and I made a lot of changes. And one of those big decisions was to leave corporate life in the city. And once I'd actually made that decision, I realized that I wasn't tied to London anymore. And it was an amazing feeling to ask myself, where do I want to live? Because I could live anywhere in the world. And at that time, it struck me that I've got all the options in the world. Where do I actually want to go? And I've just always had this dream of living in tropical paradise with an all year round summer. Maybe it's being British and just having all year round rain and wanting to escape. I don't know, but it's always been a dream of mine. And I just think, what an incredible time we live in. Well, we can do that. I mean, I know right now we've got restrictions on travel and things, but once that's over, we are living in a world where you can just move country and you can, you know, if you're a summer baby and you'd rather be in an all year round summer and you're living in a colder climate, you can change that. And you don't have to be super rich to do it either. On this point, I think isolation has given a lot of you to think about considering making a big change in your life. I know some of you have reached out to me to kind of ask about the move to Bali and ask about leaving, you know, the job that you hate and how you can start working remotely. So I know that it's got a lot of you thinking. And what I would say from my experience is that in reality, asking yourself what you actually want and then looking into how can you actually get it? Often it's not as difficult or as far-fetched as you think. Often it just means you need to make some decisions and commitments. I think we can all have this thing of, or we have this dream on one day, like this is my dream and in a perfect world, it would be this. Well, what's stopping you from saying, this is my dream. Okay, how am I going to go and get it? And in reality, I had a dream of living on a tropical island. And that just sounds far-fetched when you say it like that. But when you actually break it down logically and think, okay, where is that? Okay, one of those places is Bali. Okay, what visa options do I have if I were to move there? How much does it cost to live? What's my minimum level that I need to be earning to live there? And whereabouts on the island do I want to live? It's not actually... It wasn't as difficult as I kind of perceived it in my mind. So that's my tips to any of you if you're thinking about potentially making a big change in your life. Just really like let that dream in and just logically think about what is the minimum that I need to do to make that a reality. I'll stop rambling on now, but I must caveat that this project was originally created for video. It's up on YouTube if you want to watch the video version. The link is in the show notes, so head there now if you want to do that. But I've also done my best to try and make it possible to listen to just the audio version for those of you who want to consume it via this podcast. As always, thank you so much for listening. Many of you are probably aware that there's a huge expat community here in Bali, of which I am one. With many of us choosing to live and work remotely here, often chasing a better quality of life and benefiting from a lower cost of living versus our home cities. Since Corona hit, there's been a real sense of reflection amongst a lot of the expat community who chose to stay here in Bali. We've seen the devastating impact that the lack of foreign visitors has had on the economy. And many of us have been feeling an overwhelming desire really to give back to the island that has given us so much. Lots of us came to Bali during a very transitional phase in our lives. For me personally, quitting my corporate job in London and moving to Bali has absolutely changed my life. And I can honestly say that I am so much happier than I was back in the UK. And I can't help but think, what price would I put on that? What price do we all put on the freedom that Bali has created for us? And I think that we all have a lot to be thankful for in terms of the setup that we have here in Bali. Many of us living in the most beautiful villas for a fraction of the rent that we would pay in our home cities. and the Balinese government allow us to stay here and live our lives here. And I just think we need to recognize that and remember to give back, especially in these really difficult times. They've given so much to us, and really now it's our turn to give back to them. No foreigners means no tourism income, obviously. One of the most immediate needs amongst the local people at the moment is food, a basic necessity. Have you ever in your life been worried about how you're going to pay for your next meal, how you're going to pay for your children's next meals? It's not really something that we've ever had to comprehend in the Western world, most of us anyway. And I've been really encouraged to see that there's been projects popping up run by volunteers from the expat community all over the island who want to give back. So they've raised funds from their friends, often people who are not currently in Bali, to put towards food packages to distribute to the locals who need help. And I decided to make a video to raise awareness about the situation. The next section is basically the audio from my video. Bali is often called the Island of Gods, and it's most people's idea of paradise with its incredible landscapes, mountains, the beautiful rice fields, the exotic beaches, with some of the best surf in the world. It's unsurprising that so many people choose to visit this amazing part of the world. In fact, over 6.3 million tourists visited the island in 2019. It's no surprise that tourism is one of the most dominant industries in Bali, with many Indonesians working in the tourism sector. With the emergence of coronavirus, foreign visitors were urged to return home. This has forced many businesses to close because they can't afford to pay their staff. And this has prompted many job losses and huge reductions in income for a lot of local people, many people being unable to actually feed their own families. A few kind expats and locals have started their own food project. I decided to hire a local videographer, Imang, to show you the situation and the incredible project that two lovely volunteers, Laura and Jerry, are leading. Imang and I turned up at Laura's guest house and we started packing food boxes. And the packages contain essentials like noodles, rice, eggs, oil and soap, and it costs 150,000 Indonesian rupiah each, which is around about £8, 10 US dollars and 15 Aussie dollars, or the price of a glass of wine back at home in London. And this small amount can actually feed a family of four for 2 weeks. Laura and a couple of the other volunteers kindly stepped away to chat to me about how they got involved in the project.
First got a connection to a nanny network, which blew up, and then every nanny in Bali it seemed found us, and then but that was a really good industry to kind of help because they don't have any right now. They usually work for tourists and kind of just babysit or like just want to kind of holiday. Even the people who are still here, they don't want to come outside necessarily because they're home.
So how many messages have you been having per day?
Some days it's over 100 messages, and it's overwhelming. So I'm also working during this as well. So there have been some people that have contacted me, and then they've got a package themselves a few weeks ago, and then they've said, you know, I actually know of 100 plus people who need help, and then we've gone there to visit the community and checked out the situation. So it's just through word of mouth, really. So I'd say to anyone who wants to do a similar project, just start with a few packages, and it will grow because everybody needs help.
Yeah,
like, it will for sure. People need food, so it's pretty easy to find people.
Yeah. So this is a noodle station.
Yeah, a noodle station. I love it. What have you seen on the island in terms of the impact of tourists? How's the island changed?
I guess the start, we kind of guessed here, and then you know, we can't just take, but it's also a matter of moving back.
Another amazing volunteer who was inspired by Laura's project and decided to start her own project is Elkin. Originally from the US, she noticed a need to help in a more remote part of Bali on the east of the island.
Yeah,
we decided, since we hadn't heard of any other projects that were helping kind of in the East, to start our own. And we started the first visit that we made, we just used our own money and donated 40 packets. So the village that we helped first is called Machong, and it's very remote, very rural, on the side of the mountain. And we've taken since like 100 more food packets there to distribute. Some of the houses that we go to are more than 1 kilometer walk, like through the tiniest little dirt paths with, truly, you're walking up the side of the mountain. It's not like a proper road. You can't drive a motorbike there. So it's a really long way for these people to even get to the market in the first place. And in that area, it's not a very tourist region. So they rely heavily on farming. They close their local market. So all of these people who are used to farming and growing food to then take to the market and sell, they have nowhere to sell it. There are also tons of elderly people who live alone. Many are widowed. Several are bedridden. Others have small children, so these large families living in remote areas, and they just have no way of getting any help.
So it's not just an income issue for these people, it's like an accessibility issue as well, with these markets being closed and then living in such rural places. Yeah, it's interesting because I love that you're going to continue on with the project as well, because Laura and I were just talking then that it's great to see how the community, like the expat community and the local community, all working together to try and help everyone. But equally, it's kind of highlighted and reminded us as well that actually this isn't just a pandemic issue. You know, people are living in these conditions permanently here. So it's great that you're gonna...
I mean, I think that's how Laura kind of got started, because, you know, we live on this road amongst all of these beautiful villas. Yeah. Like, we're here in a guest house, but, you know, just a few feet down the road, there is this area where we kind of had an idea from the outside, but until we went with donations and really saw the living conditions of these people, it just makes you want to give back as much as possible. And I feel so fortunate to be in a position where I can focus on this. So I'm still working a little bit for a brand back in the U.S., but then, you know, from a time perspective, I would say 90% of my week can be dedicated to the project, which is amazing.
So it's like 6 to 12.
Can you make one rice, 10 noodles?
Corona ini untuk secara ekonomi di Bali sangat.
This man was one of the people who came to pick up a food package, and he spoke to us in Indonesian about the situation. What he's saying is Corona is having a tremendously negative impact on the economy in Bali, because tourism is a dominant industry here. And the income from the tourism industry disappeared. Many people and freelancers relied on this industry for their daily income. Another Indonesian man also spoke to us about his situation, and he says, Corona makes my work much more difficult now. I'm a Grab bike delivery driver. It's a little bit like Uber Eats, but in Indonesia. And my current income is incredibly low because of coronavirus. I used to earn around 250k IDR, which is about £14, $18, €16.26 per day before the corona pandemic. Now I only earn around 40k Indonesian rupiah per day. That's around £2.50, $3.20, €2.80, and $4.65 in Aussie dollars. A group of women also came along to pick up food packages, and one of them spoke to us as well. She says, it helps us a lot because we cannot work in this pandemic situation, and our husbands cannot work either, so this help means a lot to us. Thank you. There are lots of other people out there who need this support, so I hope Laura and her friends can also help them. We loaded up the trucks and off we went to our first location, around a 20-minute drive from Canggu over to Denpasar, Bali's main city. And here we met a group of people who were living in real poverty conditions.
Dari corona itu menurun semua masalah.
This coronavirus is reducing many aspects of life, be it the jobs or businesses, all are decreasing. It's very quiet everywhere. The impact is so dramatic. A lot of Ratton warehouse workers have had to return to their home villages. They usually send money back to their family, but there is no work because everything is so quiet, so they decided to return to their villages. The biggest impact is to our jobs, because we have only been able to work for half a month. We work only for 15 days. Hopefully this coronavirus pandemic will be over soon so we can go back to work again, do the work like we used to. We even found two people living in an open warehouse that's actually used to store trash, and they were living amongst mountains of plastic waste.
Harapannya sih ke depannya lebih bagus lagi.
Our hope is to have a better future because people like us feel the negative economic impact. And plastic cannot be sold to other cities or countries during this time. Our income is drastically reduced. Our next location was in North Jimbaran, which is near to Bali's main airport. And there were hundreds of families living in this community, and we didn't have enough to help everyone. So one of Laura's contacts, Ibu Rama, used a token system where she identified a list of people who needed help the most from her community and gave them all a token. And then they lined up and passed the token to us in exchange for a food package. The corona pandemic has had a bad effect for me and my family. My husband lost his job because of this. Hopefully this will all be over soon. So off to the final location. This one was also in Jimbaran, but more towards the south. After we'd finished handing out the food, a local lady came up to us in tears. She was crying out of gratitude and thanks for the food because it's going to make such an impact on her life. But she also equally fears for the future. She has two children and she doesn't know how she's going to feed them after our supplies run out.
Thank you.
Okay.
Terima kasih sekali untuk para donatur.
Terima kasih atas semua bantuannya.
Terima kasih banyak.
Terima kasih means thank you in Indonesian. I also want to thank Laura and Jerry for letting us share their incredible work. If you'd like to donate to Elkin's ongoing project, please, please tap the link in the show notes. Every little helps. Honestly, it doesn't take much to feed a family for 2 weeks. So please, please visit that link. And I've also linked her Instagram, the Bali Bagus Project, as well in the show notes. So visit there and you can see all the amazing work that she's doing. And thank you so much for listening. I'd be so grateful if you could please share this. As I say, it's much better to watch the video than listen to the audio. So head over to YouTube or our Instagram TV. And I would be so, so grateful if you could share it. The more we can raise awareness about this, the more funds we can raise for the cause and the more people we can feed. And we'll all get through this pandemic situation together. Thank you.